Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Carolyn Bing, who's in charge of our counseling ministries here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. Pastor Carolyn, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful today, Grayson. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good as well. It's good to have you. And the reason I have Pastor Carolyn on Front Porch Talks today is to talk about something that she recently taught some ministry students that are taking some classes through the district. And what she taught on was called Foundations of Women's Ordination. So, Pastor Carolyn, would you like to expound on that or talk a little bit about some of the things you were teaching?
I would be grateful to be able to do that. Thank you, Grayson. This is the first time I'd taught a class on the district, and this is the first time this class has been offered, Foundations of Women's Ordination. And I just found that I learned so much, and so I am grateful to be here to be able to share some of what we studied in the class. Several of the things that we delved into in this study is that in the understanding that Jesus came to restore humankind to be the real human beings God created us to be in His image. And the image of God is present in both male and female. And in Galatians 3:26 through 29, and I'm just going to read that in God's Word translation, "You are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Clearly, all of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourselves with Christ. There are neither Jews nor Greeks, slaves nor free people, males nor females. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs as God promised." So this is one scripture that's showing us that's God's design for us. In the Church of the Nazarene, women have been ordained since the very beginning in 1908. And in our manual, the paragraph says, "The Church of the Nazarene supports the right of women to use their God-given spiritual gifts within the church, affirms the historic right of women to be elected and appointed to places of leadership within the Church of the Nazarene, including the offices of both elder and deacon." And some of the things that we studied in class is that the call is important to all of us that are called to ministry, specifically also with our doctrine of holiness that is of extreme importance. And we understand that biblically women can be called to ministry as well as men. Also, as Wesleyan holiness believers, we are clear that the basis for ordination is an apostolic call. That is to say, one who has been fit for ordination if one clearly possesses the gifts and graces of ministry presented in the scriptures. So believing just from also the scripture that I read in Galatians that the call can be to both. And as the Church of the Nazarene, we believe that the Holy Spirit gives life to the Bible. I know some people refer to 1 Corinthians from the writings of the Apostle Paul of women being silent. However, before that scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:28, Paul also talks about men being silent. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:33, he speaks of women being silent. And what he was speaking to in that day and time was men and women, as the Jewish tradition, would sit on opposite sides of the synagogue, and that as people were hearing from the Lord, they were kind of standing up and speaking over one another. So really kind of what that scripture refers to is that Paul wanted there to be unity in the church service and the worship time, and so that he was asking for both men and women to be silent at times in order for there to be unity within that worship and that time together. Also, another factor that we talked about is that in our beliefs in the Church of the Nazarene, we do not seek proof text, but we look at the whole scripture. and continually seek the testimony of the Holy Spirit in our use of the Bible. So we tend to not pull one scripture out of a chapter or book of the Bible, but we want to look at the whole scripture. And our study of scripture that we've learned through this course is that we look at who in the Bible, who's speaking, who's listening. We look at where, so what's the geographical setting of the text. And we look at when, the historical setting of the scripture, and what was going on in the verse and chapter before of what we're reading. We look at what the text says, and we also look at why, and how is that important for us today? How do we apply the scripture today? Some believe from the beginning in Genesis that the woman being born out of the rib of man, that God brought her into the world, that woman is referred to as the helper. But actually, as we've delved more into the study, that word can actually be translated more as partner and counterpartner, which is a different interpretation than sometimes that has been shared, which mainly, to me, that means that God intended for men and women to be peers and partners in ministry, and that the one who uses their gifts and graces is a God-given ability and not so much dependent upon gender.
Pastor Carolyn, as you were talking, I was thinking about how in the Bible he created Adam and Eve because when he had just created Adam, he was alone and didn't have a partner. And mm-hmm. so I think that's an example in the Bible where he created us for each other, to help each other, maybe to minister to each other or to strengthen each other. Certainly we need Christ as well, but I think he created us all, whether we're male or female, to lift each other up and partner with each other. Men can help women just as much as women can help men. You were talking about the helper before, but on an equal ground, God created us all in his image, it says.
Absolutely, Grace, and that's totally how we have understood the scripture. And I think there's a richness of men and women doing ministry together because not only the gifts and graces, but we have different perceptions and different abilities. And so together in ministry, we can just be so much more effective for his kingdom because of the way he's created us differently. And at the same time, as you said, we're both genders are made in his image. And that's his divine plan for us.
Pastor Carolyn, I know you've already shared some scripture, but are there any other stories from the Bible that you'd like to share pertaining to this topic that we're talking about?
Thanks, Grayson. I've already alluded to the Apostle Paul and how he, in his ministry, saw Christ as the great equalizer. And so Paul followed Jesus' example. And many of us probably are aware of how Jesus changed everything for women in that day. In the day of Jesus, women did not have as much value, or they could be marginalized in some ways at that time. But as we know, Jesus invited Mary of Bethany to sit at his feet. That brought her from the kitchen and preparing a meal to sit and listen to his teaching. And of course, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, were all women that followed Jesus and the apostles in his teaching. There's also the woman who had the hemorrhage, and Jesus healed her. He was not afraid to have her touch him. And then, of course, the Samaritan woman at the well, and that just totally went against the culture of that day that he would even talk to a Samaritan woman, that he would talk to her alone, and that she was also alone, so they didn't have a chaperone, so to speak. And just how Jesus' example does make women the equalizer of men and women during that day. And of course, Jesus' resurrection, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joanna were there to witness his resurrection, and he asked them to go and share this with their brothers. Also, there are a lot of females involved in ministry. In Romans 16, speaks of Phoebe as being a deacon. There were also six female workers, co-workers with Paul, also in that book of the Bible. And we know that there are many Old Testament women. Some new things that I learned through this class and through this study, just how many roles women had in leadership during the Old Testament as well. Of course, Miriam, that was the sister to Moses and Aaron, she leads men and women in worship during that time. Deborah was a judge over Israel. Isaiah also marries a female prophet. And of course, some well-known women of the Old Testament, Esther and Sarah, Zipporah, Rahab, Jael, Hannah, Judith, and Susanna. So the scripture is complete with the sharing of what those women contributed to ministry in their day and their time.
Pastor Carolyn, thank you for sharing that. And certainly there are many examples and many stories in the Bible of women who were in ministry and were witnesses and preachers of the gospel of Christ. Now, I believe you also want to mention some things from the Wesleyan theology that deal with women in ministry and women's roles in ministry, so to speak.
Yes, Grayson, thank you. Yeah, the Nazarene tradition is Wesleyan theology, and one of the themes, certainly, of Wesleyan theology is relational, because love is a central theme of God. God is love. He loves us. He also calls us into loving relationship with himself and with one another. And so he wants us to exemplify that and share that love with one another. The theology also emphasizes love as the cause and purpose of salvation, so that his love is expressed to us in his offer of redemption, and that comes through Jesus Christ. So in fellowship with God, we are restored to spiritual life and empowered to fulfill his unique purposes for us. That's a paraphrase from Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. And as we are in the season of Lent, that redemptive work and love of Jesus Christ is such a beautiful thing for us to focus on in this time of Lent, and just preparing ourselves, our hearts, for the cross, Christ's death on the cross, and his resurrection, which we celebrate that he is alive.
Pastor Carolyn, how do you think the class has impacted the students as far as maybe mentoring those around them that might be struggling with a call in their life or trying to figure out how to answer a call on their life?
That's a wonderful question, Grayson. What I've seen with the students that I've interacted with, and it wasn't that many years that I was a student as well, and I'm still a student of Scripture. I'll be a lifelong learner. But I see the students really praying for one another, so they have that peer mentorship with one another. They share openly in class. They're thoughtful, prayerful. There are also different levels of mentoring. One of the things that we talked about in the class is there can be upward mentoring, which is someone that has gone before you, that has been in ministry longer than we might have been, and that they can have wisdom and guidance that can help us. then along with the peer mentoring, there's also downward mentoring. So someone that is coming along behind us that we might be able to mentor and help them in prayer and just in conversation for God to clarify the call that He has on their life. And the class also highlighted, which has been very rich for me, to have male and female mentors that we can learn from one another, and that gives energy and just a different perspective as we walk alongside with each other and journey together. The class also highlighted not only having mentors within your own church, but outside of your church. And that has been a rich part of my life. I have, besides the people inside the Church of the Nazarene and on the district, I also have a group of women that I meet with regularly that we mentor one another, we pray for one another, we challenge one another in Christian love. And it's just a beautiful thing to see how we can grow by sharing our faith and speaking the truth in love.
Pastor Carolyn, thank you for joining me today, and thank you for sharing some of the stuff, or an overview of the stuff that you've been sharing with the students in the ministry classes on the foundation of women's ordination. Is there anything else that you would like to add that maybe you haven't mentioned already on any of the topics that you've covered so far, or anything else in addition to those?
Okay. Thank you, Grayson. One thing that a statistic that I came upon in the study is that generally in the U.S., from the statistics, that 60% of church attenders are women, and that's in the traditional church in the U.S. Outside of the U.S., it's actually a larger percentage of attenders, church attenders, are women. And so I think we do want to, since God created us all in His image, we do want to honor and speak to women, whatever setting it might be. If it's a small group or a large church gathering on a Sunday morning. So we do want to include everyone in our worship and our study together. So I think that's an important factor. But again, that since we're all created in His image, He does want us to have that unity, to listen with understanding, and to share with one another. It makes us richer Christians. It makes us stronger Christians. It strengthens our faith and commitment to Christ.
Well, Pastor Carolyn, I've really enjoyed having you. And another, I guess, final thought that I would like to share, I think, that goes along with this. Not only can men and women both help each other in ministry or mentor each other, or we can gain things from each other, but also no matter how old or young you are, I think you can have mentors that are older than you, and also you can learn stuff from people younger than you. I think that can go both ways. Younger people can learn stuff from people older than them, and older people can learn stuff from people that are younger than them. So whether you're, like I said, no matter your gender or your age, I think we can all learn from each other and grow together.
Absolutely. I learn a lot from younger pastors on staff that they're just alive and active in their pursuit of their personal relationship with Christ. And so I learn much from people that are younger than myself, of both genders.
Well, thank you, Pastor Carolyn, and if you don't mind, I would just ask maybe if you would close our time out together praying, whether it be praying for women in ministry or women that are going toward their ordination, or just anything else on your heart related to what we've talked about today.
Lord God, we just come to You today, and we are grateful to be Your children, Lord, that You did create us all in Your image. And so, Lord, we want to reflect You. We want to fulfill that plan and purpose that You have for each of us, no matter our gender, our age, our station in life. Lord, You have great things in store for each of us, Lord. So I pray that You just give each of us clarity of mind, that you continue to guide us and grow us, and Lord, that your light would shine bright within us so that we might do your will and your work. And I just ask and pray this in the matchless and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Carolyn, thank you again for joining me today. It's been a joy to have you on Front Porch Talks.
Thank you so much, Grayson. God bless.
Once again, this is Pastor Carolyn Bing, who's been talking about the foundations of women's ordination, a class that she's been teaching some ministry students on the Nazarene District, and also been talking about women in ministry and the importance of that, men and women ministering together for the glory of God. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. May God bless.